James chapter number 4 this morning, if you got your Bible. James chapter number 4. I will ask that you do pray for my brother, Reed. We were down in Pensacola at a blowout meeting when he surrendered to preach. We had been there all week, and we got in the truck to leave on Sunday morning, and I could tell something was wrong with him. I could tell something was on his mind. I'm with him 7 days a week. We work together. We live together. We hunt together. We fish together. So when something's wrong with one or the other one picks up on it. I mean, that's, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to say that he's my best friend. But that morning we got in the truck to leave, and I could tell something was bothering Reed. I said, man, I said, I know you hate to leave. I know you're sad because it had been a good meeting. I know you don't want to go home, but it's time to go. You know, we got to go back to the house. He said, that ain't it. And when he said that, I knew what it was because I had been where he was at. And he said, I got to preach. He said, I've been running from it for a long, long time. And Lord showed me this morning that it's time. And we got home. I didn't say anything about it. I want him to be sure. And I, like I said, I was around him all the time. I know when the Lord, you know, you can tell when something's bothering somebody. And I had my thoughts and wonderings about what it might be. He's very smart, very well-spoken. If you've talked to him, you know he enjoys, and he's good to talk to, enjoys talking to people. I talk to you, I stumble over my words. I stutter and mess up. Reed talks to you, and it's like he's known you for 50 years. So there was no doubt in my mind that the Lord had something for him to do, but of course I didn't want to push him into anything. So we got home that day, and we sat down, told my dad, and we got to church that night, and my dad made the announcement that Reed had surrendered to the call to preach, and I was about to throw up. And people came up to me that night and said, I know you're just so proud and so excited. And part of me, yes, I'm excited to know that that he was willing to submit, to give his life to the Lord and allow the Lord to send him or take him wherever and preach the gospel. Very excited for that. But I also know that when you surrender your life to the Lord, no one ever said it would be easy. You're going to fight the devil harder than ever. You're going to fight the world. You're going to fight things in your mind. And I knew that he, as a young man, would soon face the same things that I started facing about 3 years ago and still face every single day. And I couldn't help but to worry. I know the Lord will take care of him. He always has. He's always taken care of me. He's always taken care of you. But to look at your brother and know that he's about to be going through some spiritual warfare, and he's got to go through it by himself with the Lord, you can't help but worry. So with the excitement, there was also that fear of knowing that, because there's things that he goes through that I can help him with. There's things that he faces. A lot of times he comes to me and I can help him. I'm able to help him get through it. But there's going to be some things that he's going to fight the devil on that Hunter can't go with him. There's going to be some battles that he's going to have to face. I can pray for him. I can be there for him. But it's going to be him and the Lord. And looking at him and knowing that stuff was coming, yes, I was excited, but at the same time, my heart was heavy because I know the burden that comes with it. Now, don't misunderstand that to say that there's anything bad about it. I wouldn't trade preaching for anything in this world. I want to be very clear on that. I've never once, of course you think about quitting and you might think about backing out, but I've never once said I was sorry for surrendering to preach the gospel, and I never will, by the grace of God. There's nothing better in this world than serving the Lord, and I hope we're all aware of that this morning. There's no greater thing that you can do than serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, you all know Reed, you've all met him. If you haven't, it's not because he probably didn't try to talk to you, because he probably did. I ask you to pray for him. He's studying, and he's the type that If he gets a call to preach a month down the road, he's going to study for that message every single day. It's just how he is, very diligent. But I just ask that you pray for Reed and everything that he's got coming up. I am excited. He's preached a couple times, and I think he'll do what the Lord wants him to do. He's going to make a fine preacher. But I just ask you to keep him in your prayers, keep him on your prayer list, and pray for me because I still go through those battles. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about some days in our lives. Now, according to Google, I did not do the math. I typed it in Google. According to that, today I am 9,303 days old since October the 20th, 1996, when I was born. If that number is wrong, like I said, it was Google. It was not me. I didn't take the time to go back and do the math. But that's a lot of days. That's a lot of time that has gone by. And that's what I want to talk about this morning are some days on our calendar. James chapter number 4, very familiar text. We've all heard it preached out of. I've preached out of it a number of times. James chapter number 4, look at verse 13. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy food, and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come to church this morning. Thank you for every family that decided to come out today. God, I know we all have other things that we could be doing. I know that we all have busy lives. We all have things that are waiting on us when we get home. But God, I thank you for everyone, Lord, that put that stuff on the back burner, put it in the back seat and came to church this morning. God, I pray that you'd help us now as we go into your word to preach. God, I pray you'd shut off the distractions. God, I pray you'd help us keep our minds and our hearts focused on you. God, I pray that you would guard my mouth and guard my mind and my heart. Lord, help me to say exactly what it is that you want me to say that might be a help to somebody. Lord, it might be an encouragement. I pray, God, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that right now before we even preach, God, that you would show them that they need to get saved. They need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that's struggling, maybe backslidden, God, I pray that you just let them hear that call home from the far country, God, and show them that you'll be waiting with open arms. Lord, we thank you for letting us come here today. I thank you for allowing me to preach. Lord, thank you for this place and what it stands for. Thank you for this church. Lord, I pray you go with us now in this preaching hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're talking about days. Brother Randy texted me a few weeks ago, I guess it was, and he asked if I had any dates available this month. I said, yes, sir, April 10th. He said, well, put us on your calendar. So I did that. That's how we mark. That's how we set our schedule. We'll go by our calendar. We'll say such and such day I have to go to the doctor, or such and such day I have to go do this, or the kids have a dentist appointment, or the kids have a program at school. We mark days, months, maybe even years out in advance. Mark them on a calendar. And when that day rolls around, we see that I have it marked down. I have an obligation that day. Some days I want to talk to you about this morning. We'll try to apply them spiritually. There are some days in your life that you will have. You will have some birthdays. You will have some good days. You will have some bad days. You can rest assured knowing that life is not always, and I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, life's not always going to be a piece of cake. There's going to be some bad days, but there be some days that you might have. You might get to see your grandkids one day be born. Lord willing, we all will, unless the Lord comes to get us in the rapture. You might, young people, might get to get married one day. You might have a day that very special, maybe it stands out, maybe you graduate from college, or maybe the day that you get a new job, or maybe the day you retire from your job. Praise the Lord for that. But that's what our life is, and the Bible says that life is but a vapor. See, it's full of days. I'm 25, and I've already been through over 9,000 days. Some of you are older than me. I mean, no disrespect by that, but you're much older than me. You've been through a lot more days than I have. I wonder how many of those days, not to get ahead of myself, I wonder how many of those days you could look back at the calendar on that day and see that you did something for the Lord. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We got a good bit of turning to do this morning. Not going to fuss at you, not going to scream and shout, just going to try to help you, try to encourage you, try to be a blessing. On those days that we will have, the Bible says in several places, 1 Corinthians 3 and Romans chapter number 14, that all men, that is saved Christians, all Christians, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, at the end of our life, whether it be by death or rapture, there's coming a day when the church is caught up at the rapture that we will all stand as saved, born-again believers. We will stand before Jesus Christ. The Bible says we'll be judged for our works in the body, whether they were good or bad. That's not judging our sin. Our sin is put under the blood of Jesus Christ. We all understand that. That's judging our works. That's judging how much that we put into stock for eternal things. I understand it is hard with how busy and how crazy our lives are right now. Sometimes it's hard to think eternally. Eternally for some of us may be 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's as far out as our mind can go because we have so much going on. But at that day, at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no getting around it. There will be no standing in the line saying, "Brother, you can go ahead of me. You can go ahead and take my place." No, it says every man, every Christian, everyone that ever has been saved. Now, it's not for lost people. Lost people will stand before the great white throne judgment. If you're in here today and you're lost, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be at the judgment seat of Christ. You will be at the great white throne judgment, and that simply is an opportunity for you to weigh your righteousness. Since you never accepted Jesus Christ, that's a chance for you to weigh your own righteousness against His. That's an opportunity for you to look at God and say, "Yeah, I never accepted the blood of Jesus Christ as an atonement for my sin, but I was good enough to get into heaven on my own." You'd have to be a fool to make that argument. You'd have to be a fool to think that I might get up there one day and having no coverage by Jesus Christ, might be able to get my way into heaven on my good works. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll look at the first day. We have days we will have. We have days we might have. Today I want to talk about some days that you should have. Some days you should have on your calendar. Some days that will benefit you as a Christian when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some days that you would want to look back and say, "Yep, I did that. I had it marked down and I went through with it." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to begin. Verse number 2. "For he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Some days you should have. If you're in here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't beg you enough to get saved. I don't know your heart. I feel like a majority of us this morning would say, "Yeah, brother, I'm saved. I got saved when I was 5 years old." Maybe some of us waited till we were later on in life. There's nothing wrong with that. What matters is that before you die, you are saved. It doesn't matter if you were 5 years old or 95 years old. If you're in here today, it's as simple as coming to the altar or sitting in your seat and saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner and I can't get into heaven on my own, and I need you to clean my heart up and I need you to come into my heart and save me because I don't want to go to hell." You have these preachers that preach this stuff that, and you go, I've been around some youth camps and stuff as a child that they try to pull in the young people and they say, "Well, if the Lord didn't call you to do something when you got saved, then you really didn't get saved." Well, that's not true at all. That's not the least bit true. They say, "Well, a young man, if the Lord saves you, automatically when He saves you, He's got something for you to do." No, He just wants you to get saved so you don't have to go to hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. I didn't say as a 5-year-old when I got saved, "Lord, I'll preach." No, I was 5 years old. all that I got saved from because I heard a place called hell and I knew that I was going there. I said, Lord, I sure don't want to go to that place. I need you to save me. And he saved me. And years went on and I was just a saved Christian. Wasn't called to preach. Wasn't called to teach a Sunday school class. All I was called to do was just be a witness for Jesus Christ. But I was saved. Now, when I got up around 18 years old, y'all have heard my testimony before, the Lord started dealing with me about preaching. But that was years after my salvation. Preachers try to whip people into service and try to build things on their own desires. Look, getting saved, there's no strings attached. You don't have to get saved and start busting your back into ministry. I know some people that have been in church for years and years and years, and they've been faithful to go to church, and they've been faithful to serve the Lord, and He never called them to preach. He never called them to do anything outstanding that people may notice or recognize. All they did was get saved and be faithful to a church. That may be you. There's no strings attached. If you're not saved today, will you come get sure? I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I don't believe in that at all. I believe if you're saved, if there's been a time in your life when you can look back on the calendar, maybe you don't remember the exact day. For a long time, I couldn't remember the exact date. And then one day I was in a conversation with my mom, just random conversation about the day I got saved, and she said, well, I have it written in my Bible. That was years after I'd gotten saved that I found out the exact date, just because she had pinned it down. Just because you can't look back and say, well, it was this time and this day and this hour when I got saved, just because you don't have that doesn't mean you didn't get saved. If you can remember back in a time in your life when you said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. If you have that day and you were sincere in your heart, then He saved you. It doesn't matter if you remember the day. But if you don't have that day, if you don't have that time, you need to get saved. The Bible just said today is the day of salvation. Where we live, you have to jump through all kind of hoops to avoid hearing the gospel. There's signs nailed to trees. There's a church on every corner. You see gospel tracts all over the place. You see signs in people's yard. Jesus saves. But if you don't accept it, you will go to hell. There's no way to sugarcoat it. There's no other way to tell you than to just be honest. If you're not saved, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if you've never accepted Him, you will die and you will go to hell for all eternity. I don't like telling people that. I think I don't like telling people that because the opposite is you can go to heaven. There's no comparison to heaven and hell. It's not even close. You couldn't possibly be happy in hell. I like telling people about heaven, but the reality is that everybody's not going to heaven. Some days you should have, it would be very wise to have a day of salvation. It's the easiest day you could ever have in your life. It's the easiest thing you could ever do is bow your head and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, why are you stressing that so much? Normally that comes at the end of the message. Well, salvation is the platform on which everything else is built on. You get saved first and then the Lord will call you to do something. You get saved first, the Lord, and you know you're saved and you start enjoying it, and then He'll say, hey, why don't you tell so-and-so about me? Or why don't you help out with such-and-such in the church? That all comes after salvation. That's the platform. That's the foundation that everything else is built on. That day is absolutely necessary to go to heaven. It determines your eternity. It does not matter how old or young you are. I told you I was 5 years old. My brother Reed, I remember when he was 6 years old. He was laying on his back in his bed. And every night my dad would come in there and we would pray together before everybody went to bed. And that night we were in Reed's room and I prayed and my dad prayed. And most of the time Reed would just listen to us pray. He had been questioning things. You know, he was still just you know how kids are. Some of them are at the age, they're not real sure. They start asking questions. Well, Reed had reached the point that he didn't have any more questions. He knew that it was clear that he was a sinner and that he needed a Savior. At 6 years old, he had done enough on his own to send him to hell. And he was laying there, I'll never forget it. He was laying flat on his back and he looked up at the ceiling. He said, God, this is Reed. and I'm lost, and I've sinned. I know I've done wrong, and I know I'm going to hell. And I ask you to come into my heart and save me. Say, what happened? He got saved right there. Right there that very second. 6 years old, laying in his bed. I was there. He can look back at that day. I can look back at when I was 5 years old. I can see that day. I knelt down on my living room floor. Asked Jesus Christ to save me. There's no taking that away. You see, once it's written on the calendar, you can't erase it. Once it's marked on there, there's no going back on it. That day is sealed for all eternity. If you're not saved, get saved today. You say, well, I'm young. I've got plenty of time left. I don't have to tell you the stories. You all know the stories about young people. You all know the stories. I don't even have to go into detail. You know the stories. You can think of examples right now in your mind of lives getting cut short. We don't all have 70 or 80 or 90 years. Need to get saved today. I encourage you. That's the greatest thing in the world. You know, all hell may be against you. You may be fighting the world. Your life may be falling apart. But there's nothing greater in the world than laying down and knowing at night, I'm going to heaven one day. I'm getting out of this place one day. I'm not going to have to deal with this forever. I'm not going to have to fight the devil forever. Had a couple different titles you may know it by, When We See Christ. It will be worth it all. You know the one I'm talking about. At the last verse of that song, it says, the tempter will be banished, and we'll lay our burden down. It talks about heaven being worth everything we go through, all the trials and the heartaches and tribulation. There's nothing better than laying down and knowing, God, if I go tonight, if my life ends tonight, I'll be with you in glory. You can have it today. You can have it right now. You don't have to wait for the invitation. You can bow your head right there in your seat. Young, old, doesn't matter. You can get saved right there, right now. I encourage you. Will you do it? You need to have that day on your calendar. Come to Philippians chapter number 3. Talking about some days you should have. Some days that will benefit you. Salvation begins at all. Two men were talking one time, and one was explaining salvation to the other, and I'm going to try to get this thing to quit bumping in a minute. One was explaining how to get saved to the other, and he said, I just don't get it. He said, it sounds like that you're getting a lot for nothing. He was telling him about the love of Jesus Christ, telling him about how he died for our sins and rose again the third day. The guy said, I just don't get it, how something like that, you could get so much, you could get a lot for nothing. The other guy said, well, you know, it's not a lot for nothing. It's everything for nothing. It's everything. All you have to do is receive it. I can't stress it enough. If I knew who you were today and you were in here lost, I would come and I would get down on my knees in front of you and beg you to get saved. That's how important it is. I wouldn't care who was watching, but you see, nobody knows but you and the Lord. Nobody knows your heart but you and God. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, look at verse number 8. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It would be wise to look back when you stand before Jesus Christ on that day and be able to point to a time in your life on your life's calendar. If that was how your life was laid out, and it is, our life consists of days and minutes and seconds and hours and weeks and months. It all revolves around days. It would be wise to look back on that day and say, yeah, Lord, right here on that day, such and such month, such and such year, I surrendered to you. The day of surrender. You say, would that not be the salvation? No, salvation is simply receiving a gift. Surrender is saying, okay, Lord, I want to give something back to you. I've heard it said many times, and I can say the same is true with my own life. I got saved at an early age. I gave God my heart at an early age, but I gave Him my life later. God may have your soul today. He may have it, and you may know you're saved. There's no talking you out of it. Hallelujah, praise God. He may have your soul, and if He does, you don't have to worry about it anymore. There's nothing you can do to take it away from Him. But does He have your life? Paul said, I count all things as dung. We don't have to even define what that is. You know what it is. All things but lost for the excellency of Jesus Christ. Do you have a day when you can look back in your life and say, yeah, I surrendered on that day. I surrendered on that day everything I had. I can look back on May the 12th, 2019. You say, have you messed up since that day? Absolutely. I messed up a lot since I woke up this morning. But I can look back on that day at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Shelby, Alabama, sometime around 11:30 in the morning, right here on this spot in our altar at my church, I laid down and said, Lord, whatever you want. Lord, you want me to preach? I'll preach. You want me to go? I'll go. I'm tired of running. I was saved, but I was not surrendered. I knelt down right there that day, and I can look back on my calendar. And that day, I'll look back and I'll say, Lord, I've let you down many a times, and maybe I've gone back on my word, and I've messed up, but Lord, on that day, I surrendered to you. I gave you everything I had. I wonder today if you have that day in your life. Maybe you've been saved for years and years and years, but you never just got all the way in. You never just got to where you said, Lord, if you want it, take it. If you want me to do it, tell me. I tell you this morning, I've been had the opportunity in my life to do a lot of things. You all know I like to go hunting and I like to go fishing, and that's about it. I've had some opportunities to go and do those things in some great places all over the country. Not a one of them compares with serving Jesus Christ. I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not lying to you. I'm not trying to persuade you based on my own experience, and I'm telling you the truth. Nothing in this world can compare to serving Jesus Christ, to giving Him your life. I'm not saying He's calling you to be a preacher, not pushing anything like that. I'm just saying if He wants you to sit on a church pew for the rest of your life and be faithful, will you do it? Will you say, Lord, whatever you want me to do? I can tell you, you'll look back on the day of the judgment seat of Christ and you'll be glad to have be able to look back on that and say, Lord, right there, I did it on that day. I gave you everything I had. Lord, I know I messed up. I know I sinned. He doesn't expect you not to sin. You understand that? He knows that we're all natural men. That's why He makes forgiveness so easy. But He wants you to try. He wants you to do what you can. You remember the lady over there, I believe it was Mark chapter number 6. I may have preached on it here before. He made a memorial for her. You remember the lady that anointed His feet, anointed Him with oil? She didn't have much. But what did He say? She did what she could. He said, everywhere you go, talk about that. Tell about that. Make a memorial. Because somebody just gave what they had. Somebody did what they were able to do. He's not going to ask you to do anything that you're not capable of doing. He's never going to put you into a place where you can't perform what it is what He wants you to do. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't embarrass you like that. He just wants you to try. Have you given it to Him? I wouldn't go back to the things I used to do, to how I used to live, and where I used to go for anything in the world. And I realize what I'm saying, and I realize that greater men than you and I have fallen and will fall. But they fall knowing, and if I were to fall tomorrow, I would fall knowing that the greatest thing I ever did was serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that you leave the Lord to go back to is second best. Anything that you count higher than Jesus Christ in your life is not the best. He's number one. People are going to talk about you. I was at a wedding last night of one of my very best friends when I was in high school. We played ball together, baseball, football. We grew up together. We were close all the way through school. Very good friends. He got married last night. I hadn't seen him just a handful of times since we graduated. Saw all my old buddies last night. And I'm not saying this to brag on me. I'm saying this to brag on the Lord. I was not comfortable being there. There was some separation. Not because of me, but because of God. Knowing and thanking God Almighty that I'm not where I used to be. That I'm not out in that mess anymore. I wasn't out doing dope or getting messed up or anything like that. Nothing bad in the world's eyes. But I wouldn't go back to that for anything in the world. People might poke fun at you. They might look at you. Last night after the wedding, I spoke to them and I got in the truck and left. I can't hang around that stuff. You know what people say when they see you coming? I say, oh, well, you know, he's got that bumper sticker on his truck about being saved, you know. And I remember how he used to be. I remember how he used to act. You know, he used to be fun to hang around. Now he's just an old preacher, just an old stick in the mud. People will say that about you. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you one bit. I wouldn't go back based on their remarks or their thoughts of me for anything in the world. Because I know at the end of the day, my life belongs to the Lord. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So many times, maybe, I see it a lot, we take our young people down to youth camp in the middle of nowhere in Florida. And so many times, they come so close when they get down there and they take away their cell phones, which is a good thing. It won't kill them to be without the phone for a week. There's no TV. There's no anything like that. They hear about 30 messages in 5 days. Several in the morning. You said, that sounds like torture. The kids actually love it. You get them down there, and you can believe it or not. If you don't believe me, you can go. We can arrange it so you can be there and you can witness it. You get those kids away from all that stuff and give them a day or two to kind of settle in, get used to all the people they're around. That's some of the best church services you'll ever be in your life. I mean full of zeal. You see, when a kid gets his mind set on something, or a young person, and he gets determined, or she gets determined, it's hard to stop them. Especially when the Lord's behind it. The things today that kids deal with. And if you don't know it, you probably wouldn't believe it. Some of the things that kids are presented with today, young people. Things they see, the things they hear. But they get down there and they get separated from the world for a little while, and the Lord starts talking to them. And everything else is canceled out. Every other voice is ruled out. They know it's the Lord talking to them. And they start getting right and they start getting close to the Lord. And maybe some of them, they make a decision down there at youth camp. It's usually about on Thursday night or Friday morning, Friday night. The Lord really shows up and starts working in that place. And kids make a decision right there. I'm going to go home and I'm going to serve the Lord. And I believe with all my heart, if they had 1% of support and 1% of help from the congregation that they go home to, I believe they would do it. But you know what happens? They go home to a bunch of bitter. And I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about other churches. I don't know any of these kids that go to youth camp, so don't get mad at me for that. They go home to a bunch of bitter Christians. They go home to a bunch of people who have grown cold to God. If they thaw out, they'd have to get in a deep freeze. Bunch of cold, dead, hard-hearted Christians. And those kids go home to that, and they're trying to be a light in that church. And maybe they're not doing much. Maybe they just get up and sing a special, or maybe they just raise their hand and testify. And they'll go home to a congregation, and those fired up for the Lord, and maybe it'll last 2 or 3 weeks. You know what those people will start saying? Well, you know, he just went down there and got his fire lit at youth camp, and ain't that just cute? No, that's the Lord trying to do something with somebody. That's somebody that's trying to surrender their life to what the Lord wants them to do at an early age. That's somebody that heard a bunch of preaching for a whole week about how important it was to save yourself the trouble of sin and living like hell and just give your life to God at an early age. That's somebody trying to follow through with that. But they go home and a lot of people just start pouring water on that fire. I call them spiritual fire blankets. And I've called some of them that, looking them right in the eye. Because any zeal they see, any flame they see burning, they try to quench it. Because they're bitter at God over something that might have happened 50 years ago. People will talk about you. You may be an outcast in the world's eyes. Don't let that persuade you to turn against God. Don't let that talk you into not doing anything for God. He's the best friend you'll ever have. A lot of people that I used to call friends, I could call them today, and if I was broke down on the side of the road and they could see me from their house, they wouldn't come help me. Say why? Because I don't do what they do anymore. Because there came a time in my life there had to be some separation. Can't hang around that stuff anymore. You'll hear the insults. You'll hear the remarks. You'll hear the mockery. Don't let it change your mind. Just go ahead and make up your mind. If you haven't, will you do it today? What's it say, April the 10th? Will you write on your calendar, April the 10th, 2022, I gave everything I had to the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrendered everything that I have. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the devil thinks. I'm not expecting to go through this thing and not sin. I'm not expecting to go through this thing and run a perfect race, but I'm expecting to finish the race. I'm expecting to give everything I have to God. And I'm expecting Him to see me through, and you know what? He will. Will you do it today? You say, I'm 50 years old. It doesn't matter. It makes not one iota how old you are. As long as there's still breath in your lungs, you can give what you've got to God. Say, Lord, You can have it. Will You do it today? Have you done it before? It'd be good to be able to look back at that day and say, Lord, I had it on my calendar. I marked it down the day I counted all things but loss. The day I drew that line of separation between me and those old friends. The day that I stepped out and said, I'm never going back there again because I'm going further with God. I'm going on to do what He wants me to do. It'd be wise to have that day. That's a day you should have, a day of surrender in your life. It's different from the day of salvation. Does He have your life? You say, He's got my heart, brother. He's got my soul. Amen. Praise God. Take a lap. But does He have your life? Does He have your thoughts? Does He have your will? Does He have your desires? Does He have your decisions? I'm not preaching on tithing. I have no place to come in here and preach on what you put in the offering plate. I'm talking about if you're trying to buy a new car and the Lord says you may not want to do that, what do you do? Render? Or you say, well, Lord, you know, this, I work for this money. The Lord allowed you to work. Are you surrendered? Have you had that day? On that day, the judgment seat of Christ, you will find out, we will all find out just how surrendered we really were. We're not idiots. We know what it's like to come in church and hear people say, I'm just sold out as sold out can be, brother. If the Lord told me to go to wherever, across the globe, I would pack up and go. That's easy to say when you know He probably ain't going to tell you to go over there. But when you know there's a possibility that He could send you somewhere, it's not so easy to say. But He appreciates your willingness. On that day, when all our works, whether they be good or bad, are made manifest and presented before Jesus Christ, y'all know the passages I'm talking about over there? It talks about some of them passing through the fire as wood, hay, and stubble. And others, which would be our good works, as gold and silver and precious stones. Well, what comes out of the other side of the fire will show how surrendered we were. What does wood, hay, and stubble do? It burns up. Gold, silver, and precious stones will pass through the fire and come out the other side as a crown. It's easy to say we're surrendered. It's another thing to live it. It's another thing to actually do it. If you're not, would you do it today? Romans chapter number 12. I'll give you one more and we'll shut it down. My job and a preacher's job is, yes, to preach on sin, and yes, to preach against sin, and yes, to warn people about hell, and yes, to persuade people to go to heaven, and yes, to try to help you with your personal problems, and yes, to try to help you with your personal life, and yes, to try to help you be a good person. All that stuff, you can check the box. That is what a preacher is there for. That's what I'm here for. But the number one reason that I'm here and that preachers stand behind pulpits, whether they stand to it, whether they stick to it or not, whether they abide by it or not, the number one reason a preacher is here is to prepare you for eternity. To teach you that book, because that is an eternal book. That book is based on things that might have happened thousands of years ago that prophesied things that will happen in years to come. That's my job. If you're having problems in your life, come to me. We'll talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, tell me. I'll pray for you. I'll do all I can. I'll give you scripture to try to help you through whatever it is you're going through. But the number one reason is to prepare you for eternity. To make you know what's coming. And there's a day, judgment seat of Christ, coming for all Christians. And on that day, it would be wise to look back and say, Lord, here's the day I got saved. Here's the day I gave you my life. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The last words in the first verse, your reasonable service. You have your day of salvation. Amen. Praise God for it. You have your day of surrender. Thank the Lord. What about some days of service? You know, I talked about it, the judgment seat of Christ, and you can read about it. It's in Romans 14. We're right there across the page for it. I can show it to you right there in Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm giving you the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm telling you the truth. There's coming a day where our works are going to be tried. Our works, plural. More than one. More than one day is in your life. It'd be beneficial to look back on that day and say, Lord, I did what I could to serve you right there. You say, what kind of service are you talking about? I'm not talking about going out and winning 100 people to the Lord. What about witnessing to one person? What about that one time that the Lord said, I want you to tell them about me? Did you do it one time, one day? If you're like me, He tells you to all the time. You see somebody and the Lord says, they need to hear about me. You need to give them a gospel tract. Do you have one of those days in your life? One day that you said, okay, Lord, I don't care what they say. I don't care how red my face gets. I don't care how embarrassed I get. I'm going to tell them about you. If all you can do is say, here, I have something, will you please read it? If that's all you can do, give them a gospel tract. Do you have one day? Will you be able to look back on that calendar, on that day, and say, Lord, right there on that very day, I tried. Did I make a mess of it? Yes, probably so. Absolutely, but I tried to serve you right there. Do you have a day that you can look back and say, Lord, I finished reading that Bible cover to cover? All thing. You say, it seems like it doesn't even matter. How does you reading your Bible get more people into heaven? No, maybe it's not technically witnessing to somebody. But if you did something, and you will have to put your flesh down and finish reading that Bible, that's serving the Lord. If you shut that TV off to sit down and read that book, I didn't say understand everything in it. It takes a lot of going over and over and over to understand everything in it. Do your best to shut off all distractions and read the Bible cover to cover. Have you done it one time? You don't have to raise your hand. And I'm not trying to poke fun at you this morning. Don't take it as me insulting you if you have not. Please don't take it that way. What I'm telling you is it would be wise to look back on that day and see that book laying there. That book will be there. The one that we've had, the one that sits on the coffee table, the one that rides around in the car, the one that's been there for years and years and years. It would be good on that day to say, Lord, I read it through. I might have sped through it. I might not have understood a lot in it, but Lord, I finished reading it. You gave it to me. You know that book right there is why we're saved? That's what we got saved by, the preaching of the Word of God. You know that book is how we better ourselves as Christians? That book is what draws us closer to God. Now, I know He can minister to us through song and through everything else. I appreciate when He does that, but it all comes back to this book. Day for Him to show you your life and show you everything He did for you and show you the city that you're about to walk into and show you all the details of that city, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, to show you all that stuff, and you're mind blown by it. You say, Lord, I didn't know about all that. And He says, well, why not? It was in that book I gave you. All the details are in there. It's all right there in the book of Revelation. It ain't about going out and setting the world on fire. Should you witness to people? Absolutely, as many as you can. But it's about doing what you can to serve the Lord. And to the best of my knowledge, we're all capable of reading. Do you have one time that you can look back and say, I finished it that day? I understand the situation with looking for a pastor here, and I mean it when I tell you I've been praying for you. I love this church and the people of this church. You've been good to me and Reed having us come in here. And I appreciate what you stand for. I appreciate the fact that you're searching out a pastor. I understand it's not an easy process. But I respect that you're looking for the right man. Because if you just throw some idiot up in the pulpit just to say you have a pastor, you're going to make a mess. And I'll tell you that as true as anything else I've told you this morning. I have a lot of love and a lot of respect for this place right here. I have been praying for you to have a pastor. And God will send you one. But do you have a day that you can look back and say, Lord, on that day right there, I went without a meal to pray for a pastor. Lord, I denied my flesh on that day to pray for the man that you would send us to minister to us here week in and week out. Lord, I don't want some clown. I don't want some guy coming in here and preaching all kind of false stuff just off the wall. Lord, I want somebody that's going to come in here, and even if it steps on my toes, I want somebody that's going to give me the truth. Are you willing to go without a meal? Are you willing to fast a little bit for that? On that day, and you say, the Lord appreciates you still coming faithfully. I understand that the situation is not ideal and it's not an easy situation. But the Lord appreciates you still coming and still trying and still searching out the right man. He smiles on that. He'll smile even more if you can look back and say, Lord, honest to you, right there on that day, I did everything I could to try to get the right man in that pulpit. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's His decision, it's His calling, it's His sending. But you play a part in it. Do you have a day maybe that you went without something to pray for somebody else? See, I didn't say standing on a street corner letting everybody see you preach. I said something between you and the Lord, something that's personal. Just a meal. You know, it says in there, some answers only come by prayer and fasting. Do you have a day that you said, Lord, I went without right there on that day because I knew that I was in a bad spot and I wanted to get closer to you? Do you have some days of service? It would benefit us all to look back on that day. I'm done. If I could have a piano player come this morning.